Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Just in time. It is Easter weekend. I hope that you all have a great time with your family this weekend, a nice, relaxing Easter weekend. Good Friday, too. It's a good one. Go to services tonight. If your church offers services, go to a Good Friday service. I can't believe the weekend's already here. We had family in this weekend, my wife and I. It was the sister-in-law and mother-in-law since Monday, and they're leaving this morning. So they're on their way out, and it starts the weekend for me. Scott calling in. Hey, Scott, what's going on?
How you doing, sir?
Good.
I just to cover that Mueller report situation there, the collusion part of it, it took 2 years for the Mueller team, over 2 years, actually, to come to that conclusion. Mm-hmm. That does not exonerate him, but they didn't also say he was guilty of collusion. Mm-hmm. Now, they've said there was no working with the Russians themselves, but there were some things in there that were a little bit embarrassing towards Trump. However, they would have come to the conclusion within 2 years that there was collusion. Yeah. However, today it took only 10 minutes for the Democrats to say, aha, after that was released. There it is. That's what we were looking for, because they have to have something to ride on.
You know, it's the obstruction I think you're talking about. The collusion part.
They exonerated him of collusion. Yeah, the obstruction. My fault. I'm sorry about that. But this was a 2-year, and like you said, millions of dollars investigation here. And they came out with this information, and right away, you know, Mr. Barr had his press conference. Of course, he got the he saw that first. And it wasn't that much later that the Democrats hastily threw something together and sent out for his press conference for the Democrats' view of it.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter. I mean, their whole strategy up to this point was to stretch out as much as you can, sandbag as much as you can.
Sure.
Because, you know,
they want to find something on him. And every day this goes on from now on, the American people are so tired of it. If you were independent and you voted for Hillary, you're sick and tired of it. Every day this goes on, and they keep bringing this up and saying, we're going to get him for something. They're shooting themselves in the foot when it comes to an election time.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of people who thought, well, Trump, you know, I mean, he's, you know, with all this going on, something's going to be discovered. I mean, come on, they wouldn't drag this on that long. Well, nothing was, really. Basically, nothing was discovered that people didn't already know. And this is really going to hurt them come election time. His odds of getting reelected just went up 20%. I believe.
I know they keep raising it. And what we see from the Democrat Party
even Nancy
right now,
Pelosi yeah. said. Even Nancy Pelosi said we need to knock this off because. Yeah. And when Nancy Pelosi says that, you know, this is just it's that young, more liberal, more left wing. It's a conspiracy, like most of them are. The new Green Deal people there, they want to get their hands in on this, and everybody's going to try to poke and pick at this report and say, well, this is here. This is the key right here. We need to investigate them on this, which is just going to cost more money, and they will have more investigations, barring Mueller have to testify.
If he does,
it's just
going to
keep going.
I think that's just a farce, too, when they keep saying, oh, Mueller's going to have to testify in order
sure.
to get his opinion on this. Well, number one, that's not how it works. And
mm-hmm.
number two, we have the report. So read it. And, you know, if you think for whatever reason Mueller's going to come and back up your own biases because your network told you that's what was going down and you've been lied to this
it.
Whole time.
And like
that's
I said, I think they're just each day they're just shooting themselves in the foot more and more as this drags on.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Scott. Good to hear from
you. Thank you. Bye. Good to hear from you. Thank you.
Wow, weekend time. Oh, what a weekend. What a big game we got here on Saturday. Oh, man. You know what? Downtown St. Louis is going to be bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S. All right, so this hour, I wanted to play an interview I have with Paul Barry III. He had a couple of comments on an article that came out earlier. And if you haven't seen this, the Post-Dispatch actually wrote something up. St. Louis County NAACP endorses merger, then its president admits he's paid to advocate for it. What kind of shenanigans are going on? And it's actually going to split the NAACP here, because you have a lot of people that are upset about this merger between the city and county. They don't like the way it's going down. They don't like the way power is going to be distributed, and they don't like the way that their voice is going to be muted because of it. So normally, you have the leaders of the NAACP that should be speaking out against this merger. You have one person, as we find out, leaves the organization, gets on the payroll, and all of a sudden is the biggest proponent of it. And the other people at the organization said, what are you talking about? What do you mean? Maybe we should have talked about this first. Real shady business. So Paul Barry III is going to join us next. I'm going to get his thoughts on it. And he's someone that ran for county executive, lost. He was on the Republican ticket. He's been highly critical of the way government is run in the county, and rightfully so. It's good to have watchdogs out there that still care and keep the politicians accountable. And you know what? This Better Together stuff, it's not good. Here's my question to all the Better Together people. I mean, is there a leader out there that's not on their payroll that's endorsing it right now? Are we going to find out that all the people that are big proponents of it are the ones that are getting paid by the organization? Is that what we're going to find out? You have to be tipped off with a few dollars in order to get behind this thing? It's ridiculous. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Is Paul Barry III. He ran for county executive as a Republican, a regular contributor on the show. Thank you again, Paul, for coming on.
Yes, good evening to the KMOX Nation. How you guys doing?
Good. So today, something really strange happened, and I'm still trying to figure out how this unrolled. So let me read the Post-Dispatch headline. St. Louis County NAACP endorses merger, then its president admits he's paid to advocate for it. So it's really sneaky. So this is what I got out of this. He calls this press conference that not everyone knew he was going to do. He gives this press conference, and it wasn't until later that the reporters figured out, wait a minute, you resigned and took a job with the people that are endorsing the merger, but you hold this press conference, and now the NAACP doesn't know what to do. And they're in turmoil because the members of the organization can't figure out what they want either. So I wanted to get your reaction to this and see if I'm reading this right.
Well, absolutely. And I want to give a shout-out to Jeremy Kohler, Post-Dispatch. That was sort of like an Ozzie Smith play. And it's what you call old gumshoe reporting.
Yeah.
Asking what a person's connections are financially. And he basically had to say that he was being paid by the same advocacy group that tied in with the Better Together people trying to support this merger. So the issue that I have, and, you know, I try to be, you know, aracial mostly, but I want to sort of give your listeners a view of this in a racial lens. You know, and most people know I'm African-American. The NAACP is probably the organization that pushed for civil rights, that gave me liberties today and my children, and it's something that's very sacred to a lot of us. But in St. Louis County, the NAACP has never been effective at anything in my adult life. The way that I'm looking at this situation is that if you're going to make a statement stating that this is what's best for African Americans, just like when we did things like the Voter Rights Act, these are the same people, you know, time ago that would have been making that statement or saying, hey, Paul, we need to strike against this transportation company. Now, we have gotten to the point now where the president can get up there, he holds a press conference, it looked like it was 20 people there, I usually accumulate more people at a North County gas station, and you know, he gives this thing in on sort of behalf of all African Americans. Now, the bottom line is that if you're being paid by this organization and you believe in it, then that's something that you should have said to your membership, it's something you should have said during the statement. You know, KMOX, you guys are a news-based organization. Give you an example. My good friend Jane Duker. If Jane is working on a legal case and she's on Reardon's show and they start talking about it, what Jane would do, because she's a professional, it says, hey, I have a connection here. Now I'm going to talk about it, but let the people know that there is some sort of paid consideration. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how this universe works. This guy decides that he's going to take the money, and honestly, they probably didn't even pay him that well for all this controversy, but that's okay. And he makes this statement. And now the NAACP is pushing back, stating, hey, you know, people hire consultants from organizations all the time, and I don't understand the problem of it. The problem is that you're the president of a county that has 1 million people, and you are claiming that this is something that you just believe in, but you're not telling the people the whole truth. And what has happened because of that, there is a state representative of the 73rd District, which covers Berkeley, half of St. Anne, parts of Ferguson, R.C. Prouty. She's decided that she's going to launch, and I've already got confirmation of this, a North County NAACP office, and an organization to rival the one in St. Louis County because they're so disgusted with the actions of the president of the NAACP.
You know, and this is what I take away from this. Because we've seen certain aldermen step forward and talk about the Better Together plan and say African-Americans would be underrepresented if we were to merge the city and county. You would basically be taking away people that are advocating for certain rights here in the city and county. And then there's all this other people that are free thinking and looking at the bigger picture for merging the city and county. You would normally think, and historically speaking, you would think the NAACP would be able to listen to the people that support them, but it doesn't seem to be the case when money's involved. And I also want to point this out too, for Better Together, do they have to pay off everyone to be a supporter? Like, is that how you become a supporter Better Together? They just give you money?
Yes, because I'm willing to find the first person that actually says I support this, has any type of platform. You know, I mean, this is the deal. Me being on the other side of this, I'd probably be a rich man if I just could support the merger. But the bottom line is, it's not about me being bought. You see, I live in St. Louis County. I love St. Louis County. I live here and raise my kids here in Maryland Heights in the Panville School District because I think for the amount of money that I make, it gives my kids the best shot at success on their own. Mm-hmm. Clean neighborhoods. But this is the deal. The problem that you're seeing from African-Americans in the pushback is that the Better Together people are saying, well, this is good for black people without any receipt. And for me, I believe in local rule. And that's the biggest problem with the city-county merger thing. Go to L.A. County or New York and try to deal with an alderman. Hell, it's almost like dealing with a congresswoman or a governor because of how many people they represent, right? But in Maryland Heights, if I have an issue, and can reasonably get to my mayor. And the things that need to be fixed in North City, North County, they need to be fixed at the ballot box. And you and I have talked about this before. You keep electing the same people and getting the same result. That's the definition of insanity. And so now, St. Louis County has done something amazing. You have the most right-wing pro-Trump supporters, and you know a lot of those are my voters, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now you have the most radical left Black Lives Matter people, okay, and you know, some of them are my friends also, even though we disagree on politics, especially national politics, all agree that Better Together is horrible for St. Louis County. So bravo for finding the one issue you can get Obama supporters and Trump supporters to be on the same band. I got to give it to them. I think that's what they're trying to do. I don't think they really want a merger. I think they just had some, if we do this and we screw this up, then we'll get them all to support each other and hate us and everybody will love each other. Because if it's not that, Ryan, I don't know what they're doing. And when they came out with leaking about how they're going to have this press conference, they got all these calls, and I told people, I said, sit back, pop your popcorn, it's going to blow up in their face. And I think from your review of social media, it's not going well for them, let's just say that.
No, and you know what? They need to be held accountable here. I feel like so often, normally those questions wouldn't be asked, and I'm so glad it was asked during that press conference, and they went the extra step to figure out, oh, wait a minute, something doesn't smell right here, and then they determine that's because something's not right here. And the NAACP put out this statement online, and it says, the idea that the NAACP or any of these organizations would trade their endorsement for a short-term job is outrageously insulting. which is kind of funny because didn't he admit to doing that? Didn't he admit to doing that in the article?
No. Let me tell you what's amazing. Okay, so that little statement that they were talking about, how all the other organizations do it, and they were talking about the Clean Missouri Bill, and I'm just sitting there listening, reading. I'm just like, so basically, what they're saying is that the Clean Missouri people hired a bunch of people that work for these organizations, and they endorsed Clean Missouri. It's almost like they said, well, we're not wrong because everybody else is doing it. Well, guess what, NAACP of St. Louis County, in the history of Martin Luther King and other people that have sacrificed themselves in ways that I'll never know, to try to get out of it by saying other organizations are doing it is the most petty, stupid, and unethical response that I've heard in a long time. Mm. And, you know, let's talk about the NAACP and what they do. You've been in town for a few years. They don't really hit your radar much. And we're in an area where there's issues in Ferguson. Nobody's really ever heard of them doing anything to change things. Now, we have an epidemic in St. Louis County that nobody talks about, of African-American women going missing. I'm talking about between the ages of 13 and 18. And the NAACP has not released a single press release on that issue. Mm-hmm. These are things that they're supposed to be taking up as a single action agency, or not agency, but political organization or organization. Mm-hmm. I'm disgusted with it. I'm glad that North County is going to do something to try to restore. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, and let me just say one other thing about these types of organizations. A lot of people hear things like NAACP and just think, oh, well, they're just there for pro-black and things like that. The history of America, we have a lot of issues that, you know, go from generation to generation because of things that happened in the past. And to have an organization that's looking at how we can propel African Americans to have less dependence on government, to have, you know, stronger equal rights, I think it's okay, and I don't think it says, oh, it's just pro-black. But in the NAACP of St. Louis County, they have huge corporate sponsors. I don't know personally the money that's being donated to them, how it actually flows to the community, because I'm a guy in the community, and when a guy needs to, you know, help getting a job, or a lady needs help paying their light bill, and they're talking to me, I've never seen the NAACP help anybody.
Interesting. Well, if people want to follow you on social media, because you are absolutely paying attention to not only this, but a lot of other big issues that face the county, where can people find you?
Yeah, so I'm going in and where I'm at nationally. We have a new project called American Patriot with Paul Beery III. So you can find me on Twitter. We're actually just launching tonight our digital. So you can find me at USA Patriot Media on Twitter. You can find me at American Patriot with Paul Beery III Facebook. And, you know, that's where we'll do a lot of our national stuff. Locally, you can just check out my local page at Paul Beery III. And, you know, I want to close with one thing. It's funny, okay, how these chickens are coming home to roost. You got Steve Stinger, who's tied in with this John Gaskins. They've had this relationship. And you're starting to see, brick by brick, the wall falling down. And kudos to the Post-Dispatch, who, you know, they're not always my friend. But Jeremy Kohler, he's a great reporter. You know, I do go back and forth with him a few things that, you know, in reporting. But, you know, you don't judge a writer by one writing, because they write thousands. And he's really been hitting it fairly on this, and I want to give him. You give people credit when it's due, right?
That's important that you say that, because you've had a lot of criticism for the Post-Dispatch, and it's important to look at the people that, even through the criticism, could look at the good things. And you got to give credit where credit is due. And you know what? Those are the type of people you should be listening to. So that's a good thing.
No, absolutely, and I like what they're doing over there, and they have increased their, what I would call, the anti-merger reporting. And I have to give credit to people like Maureen, the editor over there. I just think they're doing a better job. But, hey, who knows next week, right? And I'm sure they'll say the same.
Who knows? Just wait a week. It's like the weather almost. Paul Beery III, thank you again so much for coming on to Overnight America.
Absolutely. I'll check in with you guys.
He does a good job. I like when he calls into the show and gives us an update on things he's watching. Very important to watch these things. 1.5 hour left before we say goodbye for the weekend. If there's something you want to talk about, late night and all in St. Louis, this is your time to call KMOX.
We are in hockey mode. Oh, boy, I'll tell you what. I played this song about, eight times so far today. Just feels good. Just feels good after a win like that. I had to have producer Mike give me the rundown of why this song is used and associated with the St. Louis Blues. And it turned out it was just a wild night out. They adopted the song at a location. I don't know, but it's a catchy song. I can see a team getting pumped up to that. So the next game, game six, with the Blues leading now in the series, they just need to win at the Enterprise Center on Saturday. It starts at 6 p.m. Pre-game, of course, early, 5:30 on our sister station, Y98. And we'll join in progress here because the Cardinals will be playing as well on Saturday. So you'll get both games, Cardinals and Blues, on Saturday here on KMOX. Oh, man, is it a big day. I had to message my friends back at home. I love finding those little songs that each team grabs onto. You know, you have in Detroit where I grew up, Sweet Caroline. Well, not there, excuse me. They play Journey's Don't Stop Believin'. Born and raised in South Detroit. Yeah, that's it. That's what you get for 1:35 in the morning. It's about as good as I can do singing. So I'm used to hearing that. Every time you go to a Wings game or something, they'll play that and the crowd goes crazy. And there's all these regional type of songs that people like. Sweet Caroline is one that almost every team plays anymore because people like to sing along to it. But this is it. The Blues can adopt that one if they can get to the second round. Man, is that a big one. So this last half hour of the show, I try to burn through as many articles as I can, mostly because I have a lot of stuff I normally don't get to over the course of a week, and I don't like to keep a giant stack of papers. Basically, these folders I keep these papers in disintegrate, and I have to go through and see what I can toss. I told my wife I got to get a trapper keeper again in order to hold all these papers. It's like going back to school. And right before the break, we had our friend on the show, which you can hear every once in a while, Paul Berry III. You know, Kevin Kling did a great whole nother story on the Better Together stuff.
There are some people on this Better Together plan who have been saying it's imperative. We have to merge with the county or we'll go bankrupt. Now, you're the comptroller. Do you agree with that math?
I don't think the city of St. Louis will go bankrupt without Better Together. In its present form, the plan is flawed. I disagree on how the plan looks today. A Better Together plan should include local leaders planning. It does not include local leaders in its planning. So it is flawed. With that in mind, and it is flawed with their numbers. It is just a flawed plan that should be reworked.
The supporters of Better Together claim the sky is falling.
That is exactly what they're doing. They're claiming that.
Is the sky falling?
I haven't seen it fall yet. The sky is blue as ever.
I mean, how's our credit rating and our balance? I mean, financially, do we need a merger?
Financially, of course, if we were to merge the right way and do it the right things, we would look better. But we have to have input from both city and county leaders to make it work. We do not have that at this point. What they have concocted, what Better Together has concocted, is not what this region needs. It is not what this region wants. And it is not something that should be voted on by the state.
So last question. You're against Better Together, I take it. What will you be doing to inform people and work against its passage?
In its present form, Better Together does not work.
Thank you. Thank you for the interview.
Part a whole nother story. Pretty good, huh? It's a nice couple minutes there with Kevin Kling. I thought he did an excellent job with the comptroller. All right, so there's one. Boom. How many more can we get through here? I got so many stories. Oh, how about this one? Let's say you're ready to get a new cell phone. Back when I first started getting phones, you used to be able to upgrade your phone for free. Like you would take your old phone in and say, okay, I'm ready for an upgrade. You take it in and then you would sign up for a 2-year deal or whatever it was. And then you'd get the phone for free as long as you didn't switch to another company. And you're like, oh, everything's great. And then 2 years later, you'd go through and you get a new phone. And 2 years later,
they did away with all of that. You know, we were subsidizing the cell phones, and it got to the point where the technology kept exponentially rising that you couldn't afford that with a $1,000 phone. It just didn't make sense anymore, unless you're trading in a highly expensive phone. But most of the times, the things that are being traded in, obsolete. You're not going to get much value for that sort of thing. So now we're stuck at a time where you buy a $1,000 phone, and then a couple of years later, they try to make it feel like it's obsolete. With the Apple iPhones, man, do they really try to put you through the ringer. They overcharge you for those phones, and then they try to make it sound like, oh, you can't repair it, can't fix it, nothing's, oh, sorry, you're going to have to buy a new $1,000 phone. And then these Apple fans will just stand in line and say, okay, well, Samsung really screwed up with their latest phone that is going to be coming out soon. It's called the Galaxy Fold. It's a foldable cell phone. And can you think of something that could go wrong with a cell phone you fold in half? If you don't know what this thing looks like, it's kind of, imagine a mini iPad type of deal. It's kind of, it's a huge phone, but they have this like bendable glass so you can still use it like a fully functional, like little mini iPad or whatever. But there's a hinge on the back end so you can fold it up like a woman's wallet, like a clutch or whatever those things are called. And then you could also use it like a cell phone that way. Like you can, there's it, the whole thing's basically a screen. Can you think of anything that could go wrong with that sort of thing? Oh, and by the way, it costs $2,000. $2,000 you're putting out for a phone that, after the reviewers got their hands on it, broke within a couple of days. Here is CNBC. Is it Todd Hasselton joining them?
Todd, what's happened?
It's completely broken. 2 days into my testing, I was working on my review. It stopped working. So yesterday you asked me how well the hinge holds up, and now I can answer, not very well.
Whoa.
Samsung had originally said hundreds of thousands of times over several years, but just using it normally, it stopped working completely. And this actually happened to several other reviewers who have the phone today, so it's not just me.
And Todd, you as a reviewer, I mean, if it's happened to others today, is this the first instances of this? I mean, I imagine it's pretty damning, this isn't, as the phone is not fully released yet. Your tweet as well about this is being retweeted aggressively. I'm sure the brand is going to be very concerned.
Yeah, you would think so. How would you like to send your review phones out for people to get their hands on it and give the review? And you know what the thing is? Normally when these review phones go out, they try to send them to social media influencers, and they're normally fanboys or whatever they call them. And they get their hands on these phones, and then they review it after using it for, I don't know, 3 hours. Oh, I better put a video out. I want to be the first one. People will click on my video and watch this. Yay. Well, they do a review more than that, a couple hours long. In this case, the 2 days is all it took for this thing to break. A $2,000 phone breaking in just 2 days. They say the phone itself could be folded and opened up 200,000 times before it could break. Well, as you can imagine, they weren't doing it 200,000 times over 2 days. Yikes. How would you like to be Samsung right now? I have a Samsung. I have a Samsung Galaxy phone. They're great phones, excellent phones. But you better believe I'm not buying a phone and spending $2,000 on a phone that's going to break. Just the technology is so simply, it's just so new. How many times do we see tech come out and immediately it's the first generation of it? It never lives up to the promise outside of the original iPhone. Never does. So you normally got to sit it out, wait it out. It's almost like when you buy a new car. It's like my parents always said, if you're going to buy a new car, you don't buy the first year of a new car. You let them work the bugs out, you know? Never buy the first year.
Yeah, and they should be. So this actually happened in 2014 with the Galaxy Note 7, which caught on fire because of defective batteries. And then Samsung issued a recall, sold it again, and then had to recall it again, and then ultimately just stopped selling the phone altogether. So at this point, probably Samsung's best strategy is to stop selling the Galaxy Fold, figure out what's going on, and then maybe get it out there. Because right now, it's just in pre-orders, so people who have ordered it have not received it yet. Only us reviewers, there's probably a couple dozen of us out there with this phone.
All right, so this is what I would do if I were on that waiting list. I'd be like, give me back my money. I am going to pass. Hard pass. Unless you're just totally loaded and $2,000 means nothing to you, then who would want to waste that on a phone? It's just, to me, boggles my mind that we're at a point where we have a $2,000 piece of technology in our pocket
that's disposable. That is just boggles my mind. It really does. All right, one more segment left before we say goodbye for the week. And at least Overnight America, KMOX. Feel pretty good. You know, the weekend's here and the weather's not going to be too terrible. Good Friday. If you get an opportunity to go to a service today, do so. If you have an opportunity, of course, go on Easter Sunday. It'll be nice and warm, a high of 82. So it's not like the, you know, overnight intermediate rain that you may see the stray shower hitting on your Friday either. Take advantage of that. Do that. You'll feel better after doing it. You really will. Okay, I only got a few. Let's see. Let me do this story. I held on to this one for a few days, and I have something to add to this. I don't know if you saw this. At a town hall meeting in Iowa, CNN was doing one of these town hall deals for Senator Cory Booker. No, I take that back. This wasn't CNN. But the CNN is the subject of what this one person stood up and asked a question to Cory Booker. Listen to how he prefaces his statement.
If CNN is in this house, you need to take a lesson from her. This is what you call a real town hall meeting. Yes. Is all fake. They already got people out in the audience already picked who they want to ask the question. They ain't going down like that here. And so CNN need to take a lesson of this. All that signing in and all that old mess that y'all got to do, and you got to have a ticket and all, show your new phone that hey, I'm here and able to come in, and all that old mess.
Oh, that old mess. And he's absolutely right. So this is what I wanted to say to this. I think it's hilarious. Now, keep in mind, this guy doesn't like Trump or anything. He's a big Cory Booker supporter, whatever it is. But I wanted to point this out. I have talked to people that have been at these town hall meetings and the ones that do go to different debates or whatever it is. And here's a little insider information when it comes to these town halls. You know what CNN does? CNN will find someone that they want to stack a question. So let's say CNN, in their editorial bias, decides, okay, we want to try to plant this Russian spy narrative. So Donald Trump is a traitor and he is a Russian spy. So what they do is they do a quick little search. They'll click, 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 click. Who can I find for someone that could ask that question? Click, 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 click. Oh, here's someone that has a book that's coming out. And they talk about spies. You know, let's see if we can get them to ask a question during this town hall and try to plan it as if they believe Donald Trump is a Russian spy. So then they fly him out, pay to do all this stuff. They'll put him inside of the studio, and then they'll make it so they ask that question as if it's such a big impromptu thing. That's how CNN works these things. That's how they work. It's not, we're just going to go to, you know, Susie lives in the panhandle. Let's talk to Susie. And oh, man, we need to get down. And they're in the swing state of Florida. What does Florida think about? You know, they don't do that. They don't care to do that. They purposely try to find people that match their bias in order to get people talking about these stupid town halls they do. Which, by the way, Bernie Sanders went and did a town hall on Fox News, which outranked them in the ratings by it's not even close. Not even close. So CNN does all these town halls. They want to put a flag into the town halls like it's the most important thing going on in our country right now. Oh, we're having these discussions with these town halls. Fox does one with Bernie Sanders, and it automatically gets twofold. Or I don't even know what the ratings were, but I remember seeing the story where they said it's not even close. Fox's town hall just blew the CNNs out of the water, and they just did one. How much time we got? A couple minutes here? What else do I got here? I got some more Mueller stuff that I didn't get to play. You know, I was going to replay some of the findings from last night when we had the paranormal investigators in the studio to give their report of what they found inside of our studios. So if you didn't listen to that yesterday, I might have to replay this on Sunday night because I went home and I'm thinking to myself, man, I got to stop obsessing about this. It's on the podcast page. If you go to KMOX.com/ONA, Overnight America, KMOX.com/ONA. And it's on your favorite podcast apps. If you just search for Overnight America on them, you can listen to them there too. So we had John Lindsay come in with his crew, Bill, William, and Lexi, his daughter. And what ended up happening was he had an audio file and he was playing these audio files and he was describing some of the things that they heard on these audio files that were not recorded through our voices when we were doing this investigation here at the KMOX studios. We did a 2-hour investigation for them. That's a quick one. Normally they spend several hours at a location. They combed through the audio, they listened back to the audio, and wouldn't you believe it, they found some things that were questionable, and he played them back. Now, most of the things that we heard played back were nothing, as in, I couldn't hear it, I couldn't understand it. And some of the things they played back were, if he wouldn't have told me what he thought it was, I never would have caught it on my own. But then there were those things that were clear as day, crazy shocking to me. And when he got to his conclusion was this: good news, you're haunted. Well, it wasn't good news to me. I immediately thought, oh no, please. He said a minimum of 4 ghosts hang out in this floor. 4! He said a minimum. That's the ones they were able to confirm. So it who knows how many more are lingering around right here. Things that keep you up at night, thinking about working with ghosts. You know, I'm still waiting to see one with my own eyes. I haven't seen any. And they asked me at the very end, William asked me, he said, so does this change your opinion on these things? And I said, no, it's hard for me to, but I just don't know. I really don't know what to say or to do anymore. I don't want to walk around with ghosts. It kind of, I can't get past that feeling, right? Ugh. And they're friendly. He said they were friendly. That's nice, at least. We got some Caspers floating around. Hopefully it doesn't keep me up at night. But that'll about do it here. I tell you what, it's going to be a great weekend. So today, again, Good Friday. Do what you can to go to a service if you go to church. At very least, go on Sunday for Easter Sunday. We'll be back again Sunday night. No, I don't get Easter off. It's weird the way the vacation schedules work here at KMOX. So we don't have holidays because, number one, we're a radio station that's on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We just don't have days where we can just all take off. So the way that they work it out is that you make up all of the vacation days by getting extra. No, you make up all the holidays by getting extra vacation days. And that way you have to, use them at some other time. So not everyone's off at the same time. You could use them on holidays, but you'd have to request it and make sure there wasn't enough people on. So Sunday night, I'll be here. I'll be here again Monday night. Again, big Blues game. Everyone's going to be watching Saturday. If you're not at Enterprise Center, you're probably going to be at home watching on the TV, or if you want to listen on the radio, our sister station, Y98, will start it off at 5:30. Puck drops at 6, and then KMOX will cover it, joining in progress right after the Cardinals game. Wow, what a day. Enjoy your weekend. Please rest up, and we'll see you again Sunday night. Bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.